given us sorrow. There is beauty in our tears,
and you meet us in our mourning
with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting, you are sanctifying us. You are teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
Zephaniah chapter 3. How many know where Zephaniah is, real quickly? All you liars, you know. Okay. I'm looking in the context here, the contents, you know. It is Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So if you're going to find Zephaniah, you're going to have to work real hard. I want everybody find Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. We have papers being passed out. I want everyone to have one of these, children and teens and adults. I want you to read this. This is our position on the church music debate. This is a big issue of our day, and I edited this a little bit this week, about three or four times before I printed it, and I believe every family family needs to go over this week with their children and teenagers and grandchildren and talk about music. Talk about personal music, church music, and concert music, all kinds of music. And because we have a problem today with music. The first person that ever sang is God. God sings. I want you to know music comes from God. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. It says, "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy." Catch this one. "He will rest in his love." That means he will be quiet and he won't mention your sins anymore. That is wonderful to get another translation and help you out there. It's wonderful there. "He will rest in his love." It means he has forgiven you and he will be quiet. And then it ends the verse, Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "He will joy over thee with what?"
Singing.
With what?
Singing.
Singing. Is singing pretty important? God created singing. God is the main soloist. He rejoices over you with singing. Please don't sit and read my paper while I preach. It's probably better than my sermon. But you got all week. We're going to have it again. Bring it back with you next Sunday because we're going to read from it. We're going to read some portions from it today. But listen here. Zephaniah 3:17 says God sings. God created music. Why does he sing? It says he will joy over thee. He sees you. He saw what we did on our missions trips, how we were serving, how we were together, how it was unified, how everybody was trying to help people, how we were trying to share Jesus with people. He was so excited. He was up in heaven singing. He was singing. "That's my boys. That's my girls. Yay!" You know, he was singing. And he created music to praise him and to be a part of worship and to realize that, wow, God's truth is alive. Let's sing about it. God's presence is here. Let's sing about it. You know, when you're sick, my wife is homesick right now. My wife, I won't tell you, she had some stomach problems all night, and now her head's pounding, okay? And let me tell you, when she gets this sickness passed, you think she's going to sing? And it's wonderful when it passes, and in the midst, it's hard. But I was down, you know, to hear him sing, I hear the story of Dale Faisenfeld Jr., the creator, the head, the founder of Life Action Ministries, up in Buchanan, Michigan. Greatest human being I ever met. We had him preach here a couple times at our church. The most godly, holy man I ever met in my life is Dale Faisenfeld Jr. He died at about 43 and he already touched the world. He spoke here. I don't know if you remember. He just came from Romania the day before. He just flew in from Romania and he preached and he got over at 2 p.m. And nobody turned around and looked at the clock. How many's here for that Sunday? I don't remember that Sunday. It was the longest service we ever had. He preached till 2 o'clock and nobody thought it went till noon. It was amazing. He was just full of God and talking about Romania and all the people there. They said when he died of a terrible cancer. They could put their ear to his voice. He couldn't speak or anything. And they could hear in the midst of all of his pain him singing songs. He loved God. I never knew a man like him. He would come and sit right there. And I'd say, "Dale, what you going to preach?" And he would say, "I don't know." I go, "Oh." And he would get a motel. He would say, "Can I get a motel on Saturday night for Sunday?" And, you know, you just live in Buchanan. You know. He says, "I got to pray all night." I go, Oh. And he sang. He was had a song in his soul. When you have God in your heart, you sing. Today we've got it turned around. They play music when you're coming in so that you get ready for the mood. No, you should have God in your heart, and it should produce music. And it is so important that God, you just add one more zero and it's good. And He's the creator of music, the creator of song, the creator of all of it. And He's the one who sets it up. We messed it up. Is that right? Man has messed it up. Man's brought in evil. And man has said, turn with me to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. This is where man has brought in evil singing. And we need to put the next thing up. Man's on evil singing, Exodus 32. We see that God created music for beauty and holiness, and the Bible is full of it. We're going to talk about it next week. This week it's about man's messed it up and brought in all kinds of evil. Exodus, I trust you there. Genesis, Exodus. Everybody can find it better than Zephaniah. Exodus 32, verse 6. This is, the children of Israel have been in Egypt for a long time. Had Egypt influenced them? Greatly. They just come out of Egypt. They just come through the Red Sea. And then they saw Pharaoh and all of his armies go through it, and it went. And here we got it down the road just a little bit. And Moses on the mountain for 40 days. And they said, we're Moses. You know, boy, we had onions back in Egypt and it was better. I'm an onion man. Somebody saw an onion festival down near Fort Wayne. And they thought of me. I should be the grand marshal of the onion festival. That's a joke. But the leeks and everything, they had just seen all of God, but Egypt had rub off on them. That's where they got the picture of the golden calf. That's, you know, and then they had, look what all, these are God's people. Verse 6, Exodus 32, verse 6. And they arose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. They were drinking drunkenness and rose up to play immorality, all kinds of evil. You know, they're still doing their offerings, but they mixed everything up. Egypt was messing them up. They had a lot of Egypt in their worship service. Verse 17. Drop down to verse 17. Exodus 32, verse 17. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shout. Moses and Joshua were coming up off the mountain. And there was a noise of war in the camp. It didn't make sense. It was out of tune. Verse 18, and he says, it is not the voice of them that shout of mastery, either it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but it is the noise of them that sing, do I hear? They're singing a change from God singing to Egypt singing. And it came to pass, verse 19, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. This is immoral, all kinds of lewdness. And Moses' wife, anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets, the tables, the Ten Commandments out of his hands and brake them neath the mount. And he took the calf, the golden calf that they had made from Egypt, got all these ideas from Egypt, which they had made, and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and straw and strew it into the water and made the children of Israel what? Wow, that's mean. Drink it. And Moses and Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin against them? And Aaron said, is not the anger of the Lord wax hot? Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief, that they're natural and they're sinners and they go back to their sins. And Egypt had influenced them so much that just quickly they started immoral issues, they started singing wrong music, they started dancing immorally, and they sinned greatly against God. And he says, wow, God meant it for good, all of this music. And here Satan and evil has messed it all up. There's a war going on today. Is that right? There's a war of good and evil. There's a war. And the beachfront of Satan's activity is our flesh. And you have to work hard at saying, I'm not going to be in the flesh. I'm not going to sing in the flesh. I am not. I'm going to sing in the Spirit. We have a war of the flesh and the Spirit. And music is the emotion of the soul. And it's just wonderful to see what God's doing. And you're saying, wow. It's amazing, the Psychiatric Foundation made this comment a couple years ago in the American Journal of Psychiatry. It says, music can be soothing, invigorating, ennobling, vulgarizing, philosophizing. It has the power of evil and it has as well as the power of good. Is that right? Either way, Aristotle, and I've never quoted Aristotle, lived 350 years before Jesus. Now, listen to this. 350 BC. He said that talking about music, he says music is the passions of the soul. And if one listens to wrong music, he will become the wrong kind of person. Does the music you listen to shape you? Amen. Shape your worldview, shape your cultural view, shape your view of morality, shape your view of all kinds of sacredness, shape your view of God and everything. And here we have a day where music is pushing in that direction. Everybody turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Andy's going to come and read it for us here. Look at this. Ephesians 5, 6 to 19.
Once you found that, would you please stand with me as we read God's Word? Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated.
Keep your text here. It is amazing that the first part, verse 6, talks about don't be deceived. There's vain words, God's wrath. Verse 7, don't be partakers with them. Verse 8, there is darkness. We have music today that's written for darkness. Y'all know that? Dark music, evil music. And I'm begging you to look at your music and note what's going on. I'm talking about non-Christian music. I'm talking about secular music. I'm talking about godless music. Is there some godless music out there today? Godless music. And it's telling our kids to kill themselves, tells them disobey their parents, tells them not to trust anything, tells them there's no God. It tells them just to lose their life. I want you to know the lyrics of a song needs to be known, because if you allow these songs to be sung in your presence, in your home, on your iPads, on your whatever you stick in your ears, everybody sticks everything in their ears. I'm sitting there going, I've never done that, so I carried the boombox. No. But today we have that, and I don't know what they're listening to. I hope they're listening to something good. Could they be listening to something good? Yes. But we have so much evil out there today, and I'm convinced that music, non-Christian music, worldly music, godless music, is messing up our culture. And we allow too much of that in our Christian homes and our Christian listening. And I'm begging every person to your secular music, your non-Christian music, you need to be careful because it can suck you in and turn you away from God. No amens? And our youth are being sucked into it. And if you're not careful, you'll be sucked into it. And you need to know that, wow, I need to be careful about my music. I'm not going to have time to read my paper this morning. It is 7 till already. I want you to go home and read my paper because I deal with this very clearly. I found in my own life, if I'm listening to secular music, I listen to some secular music. My dear daughter loves country music. Some people say if they get to heaven and there's no country music, they're going to leave, you know. No. I don't know. No, there is some good country music, okay? There is some good country. There is some bad country music, too. Okay? And you need to know what that is. We found that we have a tape by Roscoe Flats. What is it? Rasco. I was trying so hard to say it right. You can tell I don't listen to it too much. But we put that in our tape and drive by it sometimes, and he's singing all kinds of silly songs. I found that if I let myself listen to that for over a half hour, my mind starts floating to worldly stuff instead of heavenly stuff. Christian music must dominate our life. Teenagers, Christian music must dominate your life. Children, Christian music. Because if it's pumping in your head and it's got lyrics that are terrible, oh, I don't know the lyrics. Let me tell you, subliminally, it just gets right into your head. Your brain hears it, and it's forming your worldview. It's forming your view of morality, of modesty, of disobedience to parents, rebellion. It's forming all those views. And it's after one secular artist, rock star, had said, if parents knew, if the government knew what we were promoting in our music, they would outlaw us and throw us out of the country. That's probably true. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that there's some garbage, there's darkness. And this is all Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. It's unacceptable. Verse 10, have no fellowship with it. Verse 11, expose it, report it, reprove it. Verse 12, it is, Ephesians 5, verse 12, everybody look at that. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done in secret. There's things being talked about in non-Christian secular music that is ashamed to even be talking about them. And what's done in secret is just blowed up all over the place. And I see teenagers being destroyed. And everybody's doing it. I don't care if everybody's doing it. As for me and my house, we're not going to do it. And it's very important that we need to take a stand against secular, non-Christian music of darkness of world. And we need to, verse 14, it says, wake up, you sleeping people. Don't be fools, verse 15. And we are living in an evil day, verse 16. It's unwise in verse 17. It's a bunch of drunks in verse 18. Anything with all that stuff. We're not going to do that. Parents, take a stand against non-Christian, wicked music. Let's look at our paper. Look at our paper. I want to go to the fifth page. Everybody go to the fifth page. Fifth page. Fifth page starts at the bottom. Everybody look at it. Teenagers, everybody look at it. It's got down at zero. Music that's rated zero. That's the worst music. Okay? It's rated zero and it's wicked. Is that right? It's wicked. It's foul. And then it goes up to rating number one, and that's wild and foolishness and sensual dancing. Number two is worldly and flesh. Note over to the side, it says secular rock is rated from zero to three. is just that's just filth and foolishness, and that should not be allowed in our homes anywhere. Amen. That's just pure filth, and it's worldly. And it gets number three. It gets a little better. It's just weird. But I just labeled those that we need to take a stand there clearly. Well, I like those things. Let me tell you, you can like some wrong things. Is that right? And we need to be careful, because it's just feeding our minds. We wonder, why does our kids not want to read the Bible? Why does our teenagers not want to do these things? Because we're pumping our minds with filth. And it comes from music. I think music's the worst, because music's in all movies, music's in all media, but we got movies and media and music that's messing up our culture and teaching our culture bad worldview, bad view of all of the things that are their values, their preferences, their behavior. As for me and my house, we're not going to have it. We're not going to have it. If we are going to have non-Christian music, I'm going to check all the lyrics. Is that right? I'm going to check this stuff. I'm going to check the authors of it. I'm going to check why they wrote this stuff. Do you think that the musicians of our day, secular musicians, have an agenda? Yes, they do. They have an agenda to destroy America, to destroy the moral value of our culture. They want them to not believe in God. God is dead. Is that right? Nothing. And that's not going to happen. And I don't care if everybody's doing it. No, we're not having any music that's wicked, that's wild, that's worldly, that's weird. We're just not going to have that music, because God says in Romans chapter 12, put up all the things, I'm not going to get to them. Write some of these things down here. In Jeremiah 10, verse 2, it's written on your back page there on number 5. It's in red right at the bottom. It says, learn not the way of the heathen. Do we need to be that? Learn not the way of the heathen. And it's very, very important. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. No, kill your flesh, or your flesh will kill you. And we feed our flesh. Does our flesh love to hear music that's wicked, wild, and worldly? Yes. And we need to understand that. And they know how to write music today. And it's written so way that your flesh just loves it. And you got to be careful. No, I'm not going there. Oh, I like the tune. I don't care if you like the tune. We're not going there. These are wrong. The lyrics are just terrible. And we're not going there at all. And it's very important that we take a stand. Take a stand there. Take a stand there. That is very important. We need to take out the trash there. And it's very important. Just one comment here on secular non-Christian music. No. If you spend too much time there, it's going to eat you. It's going to steal your joy from God. It's going to make everything of God boring. The question of Christian music. Christian music must dominate your lives. And then the issue of what type of Christian music. You need to note that you need Christian music that feeds your spirit, instead of feeding your flesh. That is a hard one today. It's a hard one. I'm not going to give any specifics there. You got to get serious about knowing what helps you spiritually and what hinders you spiritually. What feeds your flesh? This program feeds my flesh. This movie feeds my flesh. Is that right? This media feeds my flesh. This feeds my spirit. This feeds my character. This makes me work hard. This makes me love my mom and dad. That's good stuff. But we need to be determined that I'm going to just ask a question. Does this feed my flesh, or does this feed my spirit? And we need to understand that very carefully, because the issue of our day is we have questionable contemporary concert music. Look on the other side of your box, verse 5, page number 5. The one side box on the right side is secular rocks rated from 0 to 3. Box on the other side of page stage five is questionable contemporary concert music rating from 3 to 5. It's just different, or it's entertainment. There is a place for entertainment. But if you get so much entertainment music in your life that you're listening to all day, every day, even if it's Christian music, and then if you come to church and church music is boring, you got a problem. You got a problem. And that's an issue. Patrick chose the songs this morning from just moving of the Spirit. And blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How many of you, you know, it is well with my soul. One said it was her favorite song. Her favorite song. When they, you know, those are, we sang that song at college and we would just lift the roof. And you just, wow. And you just realize, you know, next week I'm going to talk more on the right type of songs. But the issue, does my secular music, non-Christian music, you better be careful. That's all I'm going to say. And most of it should be no. And then Christian music, you got to be wise. And don't just realize, well, if it's Christian, it's all right. If it's called Christian, is it always right? No. Ronald Lee was in, her brother was in a Southern gospel group. And in her teen years, she went to visit one of her favorite bands or favorite Southern gospel groups. And her brother went up to the door, knocked on the door, all excited about getting his autograph. And he came to the door. I'm not quite sure if he had a cigarette in his hand or a bottle of beer in his hand. But he came to the door and his brother was just... How can you get on stage and bless Jesus and then off stage you don't? You're going to see that a lot. You're going to see that a lot. Is there money being made in the Christian music arena? Oh, it is. It is. And we need to understand, is this feeding my spirit? Ask that question every time. Is this feeding my flesh? If it is, admit it, that your emotion is just in it. You haven't read your Bible for a week, and you let the song come on, and you feel spiritual. That feeling is so small and shallow and empty, it goes so quickly. Like cotton candy at the county fair. Be not conformed to this world. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 18 to 20, the people that got saved took their cunning arts, their books of fortune telling, and their magic books, their black magic books, and they burn them. They had a burning right there. Once they got saved, they took what they had when they were unsaved and burn it. I want to relate that to music. Once you get saved, should your music get saved too? Yes. And there should be some pitching, you know. There's some pitching. We need to take out the trash. There is some songs that your kids have and you have that need to be pitched. Some non-Christian songs. And then some Christian songs that you know they're just entertaining. You know they're just fun and all over the place. I don't like to have fun in the name of Jesus. I love Tim singing his stupid song this morning. Oh, you know, we're not... I do that with. That's the only part I know. Yeah, I love Tim when he gets. He's gonna have to ask him to sing his cantaloupe. Cantaloupe banana. You got it, Tim. You should sing the cantaloupe banana. So next thing, at my 65th birthday, you can sing the cantaloupe song. It's great. It's just plumb, stupid, silly, funny. Is there time for songs like that? Oh man, they're great. They're great. But when we're talking about Jesus, should we be laughing? And it is something to catch that. When the trash is there, does it smell any? Does it smell any?
Yes, it does, and I'm
going to
take it out.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Okay. We got to take out the trash. I want you to go home and look what we're listening to on your iPads. There are some songs you need to take off your iPads. Any amens? That's issues. Is this feeding my flesh? Is this feeding my spirit? Read my paper this week. Discuss it. Talk about it. Next Sunday I'm talking about singing in the Spirit. It's going to be great.